you. Hi everyone, nice to see you all. Set myself up here. Couldn't get my printer at home to work, so I'm teaching off the screen today. So I'm talking about Psalm 23 today, and Helen read the verse that we're going to focus on. And I think that Psalm 23 is one of those passages from the Bible that I would imagine most people know, at least that first line. Even if you're not familiar with your Bible or you haven't been a believer very long, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I'm sure you've heard of it somewhere. Oh, I followed the clicker. Sorry, Ashley. Anyway, let's read this beautiful psalm. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. That's my favorite translation at the moment. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. I read this week that Psalm 23 is the most often read psalm at funerals. Psalm 23 is to funerals what 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is to weddings. That's the love chapter. Love is patient, love is kind, etc. And it kind of made me smile because when I got married to Mark 23 years ago this year, I sang him a song at the altar on my own, much to his embarrassment, I think. But I used a tune from one of the Psalm 23 songs that was around at the time. I'm not going to regale it. I'll spare your ears. I used that melody and kind of drew on 1 Corinthians 13, those lovely love verses, and kind of pulled a song together that meant something to us at the time. So it kind of just made me smile when I was preparing that I've kind of sandwiched those two together in my marriage vows. But Psalm 23 isn't just for funerals. It's for us now, every day. And a few weeks ago, you may remember, I read this psalm to you as a blessing at the end of one of the services to encourage you. And that's what this psalm does. And many other psalms do it. And we shouldn't just relegate it to only be read at funerals, and nor should we gloss over it because we're so familiar with it. Spending time getting to know each verse in a psalm like this brings enormous blessings and encouragement and safety and security and comfort. And the eagle-eyed among you will have spotted that it's a psalm of two halves. The first four verses describe God as a shepherd, leading his flock and providing for and protecting them. David calls God my shepherd. It's the most personal interaction. But then when we move on to verse 5 and 6, we see that God is described as a host who lays a table for him and anoints his head with oil, which was a traditional custom of respect and honor in David's day. It's not uncommon for psalms to switch between images or themes. But here David uses his experience as a shepherd boy and relates those experiences to how God has looked after him and protected him. And he then switches to that analogy of a host. But I'm going to focus on the last verse of the psalm, as we've already read. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. There are different translations that we might be familiar with. I grew up with the NIV, New International Version, surely your goodness and love. The English Standard talks about surely your goodness and mercy. The King James, surely goodness and mercy. And the Message translation talks about your beauty and love. Goodness, unfailing love, mercy, beauty. All of these words are just tweaks around a translation that our English language struggles to encapsulate. But to start with, I want to look at this first word of verse 6, surely. The online dictionary describes it as an adverb used to emphasize the speaker's firm belief that what they are saying is true, and often their surprise that there's any doubt in this. Surely. It's David's firm belief. He knows it to be true. He has no doubt that God's goodness and unfailing love will follow him. He's just described in the first half of the psalm about God being his shepherd. Surely David knew what it was to be a shepherd from his time. He knows what it means to protect and provide for and lead his flock. He has no doubt that God will do this for him. And David knows his scriptures as well. He knows that faithfulness of God delivering the Israelites from Egypt, bringing them through the wilderness and providing for all their needs. And I think he draws on a verse from Deuteronomy chapter 2, where God says, "You have not lacked a thing." And this is the same use in Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need." David knows with that certainty of God's irrevocable, can't take it away, his covenant love with us. He knows that, his abundant goodness, that he is firmly committed to his flock. And a shepherd wants to provide for and wants to protect and lead his flock. He wants to be good to them. And because of this confidence that David has in that, he can surely say that surely God wants to lavish him with goodness and unfailing love. His beauty and love, it's a certainty. And we can read that psalm and say it's a certainty for us today. So this goodness and unfailing love and mercy and beauty, the psalms are full of examples and other explanations of God's goodness and his love and his mercy. Here are a few. I've just, if you can see some of them there. Psalm 69, verse 17. "Answer my prayers, O Lord, for your unfailing love is wonderful. Take care of me, for your mercy is so plentiful." Psalm 36, verse 5. "Your unfailing love, O Lord, is as vast as the heavens." No matter what happens to us, he pours out his love and mercy on us every single day of our lives. It gives us hope. And in the book of Lamentations, that great book of despair, there's glimmers of hope. And in chapter 3, it says, "But this I call to mind, this I remember, this I hold on to, and therefore I have hope. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never come to an end, and they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." The word goodness, also used in verse 6, is a Hebrew adjective that's better described as beautiful or pleasant. Surely your beauty and love will follow me. Everything that God is perfectly good. And God wants to lead and guide us as our good shepherd. He is the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep every day, every morning. And God knows when we need rest, and he knows when we need refreshment. One of the keystone verse that we're using for this series, on the front of this series, the front of the news bulletin at the moment, is Matthew 11, 28. "Get away with me, and you will recover your life." And this is also in Mark's gospel in chapter 6, when Jesus and his disciples were surrounded by so many people. In verse 31, it says, "Then because so many people were coming and going, they didn't even have a chance to eat." Now, that'd be a problem with me. I'm a feeder. I feed people. So for Jesus to acknowledge they didn't have a chance to eat, that resonates with me. There were so many people coming and going that they hadn't even had a chance to eat. And Jesus said to the disciples, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." The good shepherd, Jesus, knows your needs. Surely this is for us now as well, every morning, plentiful, never-ending, unfailing, for me and for you. And do you know what makes this even better? Is this word, follow. In the Hebrew, it doesn't just mean to tag along behind. I have to tell you the story. When I was at university in Durban doing my first degree, I was part of the scripture union, student scripture union, and one of our leaders asked if I'd share a word or something on a lunchtime meeting, and I said, yeah, sure. And I remember talking about God as someone who follows you, who's always behind you, and I described it almost like a new dog, a puppy dog, and this is me and my naivety when I was 18 years old, but like always behind you, the back of your leg, you know, that sort of wet nose touching your back of the leg sensation. God's always there behind you, always following you. And it was just interesting, one of the commentators that I read this week in preparing explained, well, in his words, you can take it or leave it, but that goodness and mercy that is described in the Psalms, he sort of imagined it as two sheepdogs helping the shepherd sort of corral the sheep and follow the sheep and sort of bring them up from the rear. So I thought that was an interesting connection as well. But a better translation of this word follow is to actively pursue, to chase. And that's the same word is used when Pharaoh chased the Israelites when they left Egypt. Chase, to pursue. And even David himself had been chased and pursued by his enemies. Saul and his armies had tried to kill him for years, and David spent many years hiding in the mountains and in the caves. And I often think of David hiding in a cave, looking over his shoulder, writing these beautiful psalms for us to enjoy. So on one hand, David is certain of the guidance and refreshment in the meadows and the quiet streams which he believes God will continue to give him, surely. And on the other hand, the anticipation of that future refreshment and that guidance is based on God's faithfulness in the scriptures, in the story of the Exodus. David could look back on the scriptures and see that God had been faithful then, and know surely that he would be faithful now and in the future. God says his love will chase after you every day. What a great passage of love that is. There will never be a day when God's love, mercy, goodness, and beauty will not be chasing after you. God doesn't promise you'll have an easy life. The psalm alludes to that. But he does promise to be with you every step of the way. Way back in the story of Joshua, God told him to be strong and courageous. We all know this verse. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Or as the Message translation says, I'm back in the house of Yahweh for the rest of my life. The experience of the past in the Bible, knowing God's faithfulness through scripture and our own experiences, and then rejoicing in the present, knowing that God will provide, God will look after you, will guide you to those streams and those meadows, knowing that our good shepherd chases after us with every good and perfect thing, this enables us to have an incredible expression of confidence and hope in the future, that we can come back to the house of God, to his presence, to sit at his feet every day for the rest of our lives. I'm going to finish with some words from a song that I love. I know that, I think we've sung it here before, I hope. It might be familiar. It might be familiar to you, but perhaps close your eyes as I read these words. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been so faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Because your goodness is running after me. Your goodness is running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything, because your goodness is running after. It's running after me. And all my life, you have been so faithful. All my life, you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I'm going to sing of the goodness of God. Amen.